Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
And we're going to get into God's Word, and we're going to look at Scripture this morning, and this is an extension of worship. Worship didn't end. We're just continuing it in a different form. This is an extension of the worship and what we felt in worship. Because what Dawn said was so awesome. She said that when we worship God and we lift our praises up to him, because we praise him for what he's done and we worship him for who he is, he sets up a perch. It says he sets up habitation in the presence of his people. And with that comes everything you need. With that comes joy. With that comes peace. With that comes provision. With that comes deliverance. With God, when he inhabits the praises of his people, everything that pertains to your situation, everything you need is present in the room. It's present to heal. If you have sickness in your body, he's present to heal. If you need a financial breakthrough, he's present to provide. See, we always think about the ram in the bush, but the ram was there when he made his way up the mountain. So as we come before the Father, as we enter in his house, your ram in the bush, in the thicket, is there. It's already here in the room. You don't have to conjure anything. It's here because he's here. Because guess what? He's the prize. So when we come into the room and we lift our hands to worship him, understand that as you worship him, he's downloading in you everything you need. You don't have to worry about it, because sometimes the enemy will get us as we worship God. He'll come in and he'll remind us of what we were thinking about in the parking lot before we got here. He'll interrupt our, how dare he interrupt your worship? I'm mad for you. I have a righteous indignation for you, because what you need is in the house today. So how dare he come in and interrupt your time with God? So I want you to know that it's here for you, regardless of if you came in and out of worship mentally, it's here for you. And not only does provision come, but at the same time, we set up worship and he sets up habitation in here with us. Wherever he goes, the blood goes. So as you worship and as he sets up his residence with you, every place around you, he puts a bloodline that is an impenetrable force against the enemy. He sets up camp around you. The Bible says that he gave the children of Israel a pillar of fire by night and a cloud of smoke by day. He set up camp in the midst of the children of Israel as they went in the wilderness for 40 years. It wasn't like he set up camp with them as they were doing well. The pillar of fire was there as they built the calf. It was built there as they sinned. As he was talking with Moses on the mountain. And then he told Moses, he goes, go down there. The people that you brought has made a false idol of me. But they didn't realize that he was already with them. And sometimes we do that. We do that in our lives. We create these idols in our lives because we forget that he's already with us. And so I want to talk about something this morning, but we're going to go before the Father in prayer. So, Father God, we thank you. God, we worship you. We magnify you above every problem and above every situation. We declare that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father God, we thank you that the gospel will go forth, Father God, on good ground. On good ground. That it will not be snatched up by the enemy. It will not have shallow roots, Father God, but it would take deep root in us. And we thank you, God, for the opportunity that you've been presenting to us Sunday after Sunday to go higher with you, God. We thank you that this is a moment to go higher, God. This is a moment to advance, Father God, in you. And we thank you, Father God, for it. So, Father God, I decrease that you might increase, God. That you might have your way in this place. Holy Spirit, I invite you in. I ask that you would move up every aisle, that you would touch every heart. I thank you, Father God, that you bring conviction and not condemnation. So we declare it to be so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So some of you guys are going to look at me when we start reading the book, and you're going to say, Andrea, what it is not is April. And I'm going to say, I know, because April is Easter season, and we're leading up to Easter. And we're leading up to a period of time, not only in our calendar, but on the Hebrew calendar, where God really began to do some things in the earth for us. And I know it might be a weird passage of scripture to read right now. We just ended Christmas in my mind. And but I want us to read it with a freshness and with a open heart to see what the Lord has to say to us this morning. Amen? All right, so we're going to go to John. We're going to go to John chapter 19. We're going to go to John chapter 19. We're going to start at verses 5 through 7. We're going to start at verses 5 through 7. And so we're in the center. We're kind of in the middle of Jesus's walk to the cross. We're in the middle of it. The Last Supper has already happened. He's been betrayed by Judas. They met him in the garden. And they captured him and they took him. And they brought him before the law of the land for the Jewish people. And he had that council. And they found him guilty. And so they take him to Pilate. And so he's before Pilate, and Pilate finds no fault in him. He finds no fault in him. And so we pick that up at verse 5. Verse 5, and it says, then Jesus came out wearing a crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, behold the man. Therefore, when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, you take him and crucify him, for I have no fault in him. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. And then we're going to go down to verse 17, and this is after they have... In John's gospel, he talks about the whipping of Jesus and the crown of thorns before they get to Pilate. So he's already gone that. And so they're walking him out, and they meet Simon, the black man who carried the cross for Jesus. And they made their way. And verse 17 says this. It says, and he, bearing his cross, went out to the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew, Golgotha. And when they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side of Jesus in the center, and now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, King, the King of the Jews. And there's a particular statement that happens in verses 20 through 22. And it says, then many of the Jews read the title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Therefore, the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews. But he said, I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered him, what I have written, I have written. And so my God, stretched out on the cross above him, reads King of the Jews. And we've jumped down in verse 28. And it says this, and then after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished and the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled the sponge with sour wine, put it on the hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus received the sour wine, he said, it is finished, bowed his head, and gave up his spirit. Now, I was given the unfortunate task and yet the fortunate task of talking about sin this morning. We're going to talk about sin. And we're going to talk about sin because we have been given the calling by our pastor to come up higher. Yep. And we're going to deal with sin this morning. Yep. And I want you to hear me. I dress casual so that you might feel comfortable because I'm going to be transparent with you and I need you to be transparent with me. And so we're going to talk about sin this morning and why I read the blood, why I read about the crucifixion of Jesus is because we cannot talk about sin without talking about his blood. We cannot talk about sin without talking about the cross. And we cannot talk about sin without talking about his resurrection. Because what we have to remember is that the priests in the Old Testament, they sacrificed in replace, in substitution for what Jesus was gonna do. So the slaughtering of animals and a blood that could not hold the weight of sin because they had to do it every year, the blood was applied to the mercy seat on their behalf until Jesus. And then Jesus, the high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, walked through the veil and put his blood, a more reasonable sacrifice, on the mercy seat. See, you say, Andrea, why are you so intense about this? Because we have to deal with this identity issue that we have found in the church. The blood was applied for you and me. Because he makes a very good point. He makes a good point at the end of verse 30, towards the end, in the middle. It says, it is finished. Now, that word is a Greek word. It means telestia. Telestai. There we go. Thank you, Annie. And this word is a Greek word. So I have the Greek and the English. It's not very different, which is very funny. We can read Greek, which is fun. So if you don't think you're a theologian, just look at that word. You read Greek. There you go. But this Greek term, the definition is it's not finished. He said the Greek word when he was on the cross. And the Greek word is an accounting term. So what it means is that he, God in heaven, wrote up your sin on his spreadsheet and said that you have a debt to pay. He said you have a debt to pay. You owe him. And he said, but I'm not going to take it from you. Why? Because Jesus was slain from the foundation of the earth. He said, I have a backup plan for you. I'm not going to take your blood. He said, I have found a more worthy substitute. And so what he did is he added up your sin. And then what he did was he put Jesus' blood right on top of it. And he said, it is finished. It's been accounted for. I have received the fullness of the debt that you owe. So if that's the case, then the identity that I carry as a believer is not a sinner saved by grace. That is not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. You're not a sinner saved by grace. Because if you were a sinner saved by grace, that means his blood did not accomplish what it was supposed to do. So you're not a sinner. You're not perfect, but you are not a sinner. And so we're given this amazing gift by Jesus on the cross. And he makes, and Paul makes a statement in Romans as he's writing to this group of new believers. And it's in Romans, actually it's in 2 Corinthians. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So I'm going to read to you your new identity. I'm going to read to you what God now calls you as the blood has been applied. And this is what it says. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So you are a new creation. created in the image of God and in his likeness. That's what the blood did. And he applied it to the mercy seat. And what I love about that section of the Bible is there's a small part. And sometimes we pass by it, but it's a small part. And what it says is that there was an earthquake. Right. And the rock split. Mm-hmm. And it says the rock split and the earth shook. And it says, and in the temple, the veil separating us and the holies of holies was split from top to bottom. So now we understand the saying, come boldly before the throne of grace, because you have been given access. How have you been given access? Because you're seated in him, in Christ. So as he went through the veil, so did you. So there's none of this, I'm going to wait for a word from the pastor. Let me go find my nearest prophet. You get to go before the throne of grace and enter his courts with thanksgiving. And enter his courts with praise. And you get to go into the Holy of Holies. So why are we talking about sin? Because the priest couldn't get into the Holy of Holies with sin on his life. He had to offer up a sin sacrifice for himself. Right. Right. And now we don't have to. Wow. So we cannot take sin into the Holy of Holies. Right. If that's the place God has prepared for you, it's now yours. We can, but the graciousness of God that we can still come. In my mess, knowing I sinned last week, I can still come before him. No shame, because there is now therefore no condemnation and no shame for those who are in Christ Jesus. So I get to come before him with my porn addiction. Come on. I get to come before him with my drinking that nobody knows about. I'm talking about sins that we've heard before. But don't act like they're not in the church. Don't act like we haven't struggled with this before. I'm talking about that lying spirit that's not a part of just trying to manipulate people, but it's a part of my insecurity. I'm talking about that fearful spirit that keeps you up at night. I'm talking about all of it. But come before the throne of grace boldly, that you might receive mercy and favor and forgiveness. Because in Romans it talks about how we can come before God and repent of our sin. It's somewhere on the screen, probably. But we can go before God, and he is just to forgive us. You know why he's just to forgive us? Not because his nature has changed, because sin still cannot come into, is not allowed in his presence, but because the blood is applied. Right. See, we always sing the song, white as snow, and that is so true. We are white as snow, but when you come into the Holy of Holies, you are covered in blood. Yes. You are head to, from there, top of your head to the soles of your feet. You are drenched in it. And that's all he can see. The righteous indignation he has for that of sin is stopped, null and void, because you came in with the blood. So whenever Satan tries to come as your accuser, and he said he did this, this, and this, get away from me, Satan. I can't do anything about it. I'm not saying you're wrong. But what I am saying is the blood has been applied. See, I'm telling you this, and I'm talking so intensely. Know that it is just of my nature. But I'm talking to you so intensely because I want us to understand who we are. And the enemy has done enough rampaging the people of Christ with your past. It's under the blood. What you did, it's under the blood. It's not who you are, your identity. That's not who you are. You're a child of God saved by grace. And so we come into the holies of holies, we get access to it, and with this new creation comes a new purpose. Because when we look at the garden, what was in the garden was good. And when you look at that word good, it's not just good. Like what we say, oh, that's good. No, it means good, but with purpose. It's good because it has purpose. He created the fish, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. He said they were good because they had purpose. What is their purpose? To be a bird. What is the fish's purpose? To be a fish. It doesn't have any other. It's not going to be a bird. A bird's not going to become a fish. Now, don't talk to me about dinosaurs. I understand that birds are we're dinosaurs. I understand that. But what I'm telling you is the creation and its intentional design, they cannot separate themselves from that. They are what God created, and he created them with a purpose. And so as we become new creations in God, you are created now with a purpose. You've got a new identity, and you've got a new purpose. So let's look at what is this new purpose? Let's go to 1 Peter 2:9. I'm going to read it from off the screen. And it says this: but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So guess what? Whether you liked it or not, the moment you came into Christ, welcome to the priesthood. Yeah. And it's not regulated by tribe and by family line. This is not the priesthood after the order of the Levites. It is the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, after the order of Jesus. Because what he was trying to do when he met the children of Israel in the desert was he wanted to originally make them a priest. That's why he asked them, would you come up the mountain with me? And they said, no, let Moses go. See, everyone's invitation was to come up to the mountain. Everyone's invitation was to come up to the mountain. So he said, okay, you don't want to come up to the mountain. I'm going to bring Moses. But I got some on the other side that's going to make you all priests. And you're not just a priest. It says you're the royal priesthood. So along with being a priest, you are also a king. And I'm not leaving women out. I'm just using that phrase that we find in the Bible. You are a king. Because sometimes being a queen has a certain connotation with it. It means we ain't got as much power. We sit to the side and we look pretty. I was once a princess and now I'm a queen. You are a king with dominion and authority. We are kings and priests. And with that comes dominion. So what he was trying to do was not only have a people who came before him and had access to him, he wanted a people who had dominion.
That's so good.
And dominion is so much bigger than we realize. Because dominion is not small. We have embassies and consulates all over the world. We are here in the United States. We are Americans. We have a right and a privilege within this country. And then we can go to a different country.
Right.
And we can, if we are in times of trouble, we can go to a place called the American Embassy. And the American Embassy is the United States in Italy.
Right.
So we, guess this, we, our bold selves said, Italy, we love you. This is your country. Right here, though, is the United States. And we set up United States jurisdiction in another country. So when you, the people of God, we are here in the church, we are the body of Christ. Guess what? When you step outside, everywhere your foot establishes itself is the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom right here. Everything else could be going on. The kingdom right here. And that's what he wanted to do, because he wanted you to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. So he had to give you dominion, because the kingdom of heaven is not a kingdom that you will find in earth like the normal kingdoms. It is a kingdom that is resident on the inside of you. So he had to give you outside jurisdiction, because what he was trying to do was set up kingdoms all across the earth. As one body, as one man, you are the kingdom of God.
That's it.
I can call you your name. I can call you Annie. But you are also the kingdom. And we have to associate ourselves with that. We cannot associate ourselves with sin. We are associated with the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And so we go from dealing with sin to stepping into a new realm called holiness.
Yeah.
And holiness is not an over-the-top and dramatic Christian. Holiness is not rules and regulations. It is not a skirt down to your ankles and a shirt down to your wrist. Holiness is a pursuit after God.
Yes.
So you can, I'm not saying wear what you want, but I'm saying that it's not regulated to it. If you thought holiness was the fact that I don't go out here, I don't drink, I don't cuss, I don't smoke, that you are holy,
no.
That's not the qualification.
Yeah.
You are holy because you are in Christ. So I pursue holiness as I pursue Christ. And we have to get out of this mindset. We have a mindset sometimes in church, and I do too. And when I say you, I mean we. That sometimes it doesn't take all that to be a Christian. Come on, we had this conversation. The extra, ooh, that's real spiritual. Oh, she up here praying on her knees. She crying again. She caught the Holy Ghost again. She's giving a word of prophecy again. And we have this negative connotation with people or individuals who have chosen to go after God. Because
wow.
We think it don't take all that.
Wow.
So what do? We compromise. Because it don't take all that. Jesus saved me by grace. He saved you, but he didn't want you to stay the same. See, if you, I grew up with a young adult leader. Dawn was also my young adult leader, but at a church I was previously. She used to tell me, Andrea, if the word hasn't changed you, it hasn't reached you. If we have this conversation again, and she said, I'm not saying this out of being mean and vindictive. She goes, I'm telling you this because you need to come up higher.
Yes.
If we keep having to come around the same struggle you having, we got to talk about something.
Right. Right.
And it's not, I want you to hear my heart. I'm not saying it's perfection. What I'm saying is the Holy Spirit on the inside of you who works out a new thing. It's called the process of sanctification. We put a big word on it, but it is the working out of your salvation. We go from glory to glory, from faith to faith. It is a transgressional journey in God. It is not a stagnant journey. It is progressional. You don't just get saved and then stay the same way. I'm not saying you won't make it into heaven, but there is a life of abundance that he wants for you. And we got to deal with this sin, because the sin is keeping us from approaching the throne,
wow.
From taking your rightful place. You don't realize it, because it is a pleasure for a moment. It is fleeting.
Wow.
But you have pushed yourself back from the Holy of Holies that you are designed to enter into.
Right.
See, we've been learning about counting the cost. We've been learning about genuine worship. And then we had a smack in the face message last Sunday. If you weren't convicted, I sure was. And it said that we were not supposed to fake this faith. That at some point this has to become your own. This has to become a real thing. We're not playing church. This is church. This is the kingdom. We're not doing. See, we're called to a higher standard. Whenever you're on this pulpit or you're in the church, this is an apostolic house, and it's been said before. And because it's an apostolic house, you've been attached to this apostolic house, not by not by happenstance, but it's for a reason. And because you are part of this house, God, though you may not think highly of yourself, thinks very highly of you. He thinks very highly of you, that you are his people, called to carry the gospel to the world. That's the lineage of people who walk in the door, whether they stay for 5 minutes or for 2 years. That is the lineage of this people, of this house. So we have to come up higher. We have to come up higher. We have to seek God in a way that is not just because I don't want to look like a bad Christian. Some of us are wrapped up in looking like bad Christians, and God's just like, I just want you to be a Christian. I'm not looking for perfection. I'm not looking for how you do this. I'm not looking for that you come before my throne every time talking about something you've done. He goes, I'm just looking for people who are after me. And being after him, and it is okay to be all in. Be all in. Don't halfway this. Be all in. Be all about the glory of God. And if they tell you that you're too much, then say, yo, then that's cool. Be over there.
Yeah.
You don't have to. See, sometimes we have to love people, and we should love people.
Yeah.
We should love people hard. But you don't have to subjugate yourself to their lifestyle. See, we over here trying to be people. We over here trying to be people's friends. Now love them, because I love you enough to tell you what you're doing, and I hope you would love me enough to tell me what I'm doing. Andrea, what you out here? Where you been? Andrea, what you doing? I don't see the same zeal. What's going on? What's going on? What are you doing? How are you? I would hope that you would love me enough. Because I'm going to be transparent with you. When Dawn was talking about having fake faith last Sunday and having a genuine faith, let me say genuine faith, the Lord really began convicting me. I'm being honest with you. He began convicting me. And I had to repent of something. I sometimes struggle being open with people. And it's because I sometimes pleasure in I'm a people pleaser. And so my people pleasing is not to be in your face asking, doing a song and dance. My people pleasing said, if I don't bug you, I'm doing the right thing. If you never have to call me, Andrea's good. That's my people pleasing, is that I work up a persona of perfection that people don't have to see the real me. But what I desire is not that, is community. And I'm gonna be very transparent, and now you can call me out on it, because I'm working on it, y'all.
Come on.
I'm working on it, I'm working this out.
Grace.
I struggle with that, so my tendency is, you've seen it before, after church, I go home. I go home. And I'm gonna say it the way God told me to say it. I don't just go home. I run. I run from connection. I run from being vulnerable with people. And God said, you have to stop doing that. He said, it might not be the big sins we talk about. He goes, but I haven't created you for that. And you've been doing that. And that's not how I created you. And I was so convicted, because after service, I was like, oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go. I'm going to stay. But I got so scared. And so I got my car, and I went home. And on the freeway, was so convicted. Because once you get further in this, as maturity leads us in this, sin is not those minute things. Sin is disobedience. It's disobedience, and it's the disobedience we are logical about. We rationalize our disobedience. And so I was rational. I gotta get home. I live in Huntington Beach, California. It takes me 40 minutes to get out here. So that's why I go home. They should all understand that. And I'm being vulnerable with, really, because I'm not the one. Or the two, you know what I'm saying? So, I'm just not that person who's as open about certain things. But I was so convicted of that, because this is meant to be done in community and not in separation. And so, when we talk about this living holy, it encompasses every area of our lives. And it is not to your detriment that he pointed out. It is to your advancement that he points it out. And so as we continue down this, because I read the messages coming up, brace yourselves. As we continue down this line of things that God is going to begin dealing with us about, we have to be real with the Father about what we've harbored in our hearts. The Bible says, search me, O Lord, and find any wicked way in me. Search me, O Lord. And that's not like a bad thing to be searched. It's not a bad thing to be searched. Search me, God, and find the hidden sin in my life. Search me, God. And find where I've done wrong. Search me, God, that you might know me. Because what I really long for is to be known by Christ. Search me, God. And so, as we walk in this anointing, as we walk in this calling, one of the things that God really pressed on my heart is that we are called to this for a very particular reason. And it says this in Romans 8. It says, Romans 8, verses 19 through 21, it says, for the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, for not willingly, but because of him who subjected in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from bondage, corruption, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The earth is waiting for you. You're asked to walk in holiness, not because you are better than. You're asked to walk in holiness because the earth groans in anticipation for you. It groans in anticipation for you to be fully who God has called you to be, for you to fully walk out this calling on your life, for you to fully be a priest and a king in your home and in your workplace. The earth groans for you, because when you are realized, they will also be delivered. See, your calling has a contingency on it. You stepping into this, you backing away, understanding that sin is not your identity, has a contingency. It's that all the earth would be saved. So we're just going to pray. Father God, we thank you. Father God, we lift you up. We magnify you. And we thank you, Father God, that you might search us. Search us, God. And know our heart. Search us, God. And know what we long for. That you may bring it into its fullness. Father God, we just thank you. We just open up with just open hands. Father God, we just thank you. That you bring conviction and not condemnation. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.